Right now, we are going to have a look at the wonderful world of children's literature. And joining us to do just that is Dr. Belle Alderman, the Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. Belle, welcome back to Afternoons.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And there's just no better person to talk about children's books, especially because we're working our way through the list of the notable books as selected by the CBCA. Is that correct, Belle?
That's right. Okay. And next Tuesday, they're going to announce the shortlist.
Oh.
So they're going to reduce these five categories to only six in each list.
Have you got any inside knowledge on who's...
No.
Oh.
No.
Given nothing away, Belle.
No.
And so let's start. You've selected another few books for us to look at today off this list of notable children's books. You're going to start off with things for older readers.
That's right. I thought we'd start with one by Sean Tan because we know his work already. We've mentioned him with The Arrival, and he's really one of Australia's best writers and illustrators. This one is Tales from the Inner City, and it's 25 of his stories that were just conjured up out of his imagination. One day he might be walking along and think, what is the relationship between animals and crocodiles and humans and butterflies? Now, who else would think like this but Sean Tan? Mm. But he's now then given us these wonderful illustrations. And this particular one is just about the relationship between a dog and a person. And the text is quite like his very lyrical text. It says, "One day I threw my stick at you. You brought it back. My hand touched your ear. Your nose touched the back of my knee. Then we were walking side by side as if it were always this way." Then he's got a series of 12 extraordinarily beautiful illustrations of humans through time and their relationship with dogs. Now, how many people would think of a book of 25 collections like that?
Mm.
None other than Sean Tan. So I think this would be particularly inspiring for young writers and young illustrators who might hear the story and think of an image, or they might see the image and they could conjure up their own story. Just gorgeous stuff.
So is there a theme that pulls all these stories together?
This one, the theme for him is the relationship between animals and humans.
Yep.
So he has some very odd juxtapositions. They're crocodiles who occupy an office space. Well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
In the imagination, that might be possible.
Absolutely. You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman, Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. And we are working our way through some of the notable books last year. The shortlist will be announced on Tuesday. And we're just talking about Sean Tan, Tales from the Inner City. What other treats have you got for us, Belle?
Well, this one, Lenny's Book of Everything by Karen Foxley, to me, is one of the best novels I've read in probably 10 or 15 years. It's that good.
Really?
Now, this is not just a novel for young people. In fact, I've seen some reviews that said, no, I wouldn't give it to any child under 10 years of age.
Okay.
It's actually a story of a family that's quite poor, but they're managing all right. Lenny and her, the two main characters, one of them is a young boy who has this growth hormone, so he continues to grow. And you can imagine that with this condition, this is a fatal condition if you can't control it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his older sister loves him to bits and tries to do everything she can. They've managed to get this free subscription to this wonderful series of books, an almanac that arrives every Friday in the mail with an A or B or C. So that gives them something to look forward to. It's also a story of coping with poverty, coping with sickness, possibly death, which you know is inevitable. But it is so beautifully written and the characters are so well realized that this book is going to be a book you won't forget.
So why was it suggested that it's not a young child's book, that it's an older child's book?
I think because it is underneath, ultimately, is about death
yeah.
and separation. And it's also about poverty and not having everything you need, having a father who's left. Where is he? So these are some pretty heavy issues. But if you think about it, this is part of life for young people as well. The fact is that these are people who are coping and who are finding their own way through life. It also has a series of wonderful letters between this person who is sending these almanacs every week. And she's saying, you need to buy the cover. And the mother is writing back, no, you said it was free. So there's an awful lot of interesting juxtapositions of stories in this novel that you wouldn't normally find in a novel for children, but this is really for young adults, so 10 to 18 years of age.
And Belle, you've described it in such glowing terms. What for you takes a children's book, or in this case a young adult's book, from being a good read into a different territory, onto a different
for
level?
For me, it's one that at a point in the story, I'm going to gasp, or I'm going to be brought to tears, or my heart is going to break. If a book can do that, it's got something special.
And how do you get yourself into a child's headspace when you're looking through these books? Have you just been doing this for so long that you get it? Or is there anything that you do?
I believe that all of us have a child inside us. And when I'm reading these books, I am that young person reading that book. I'm a teenager reading
your
that
teenage
book.
Your teenage
Belle. Yes.
That would be something to see. You're on Afternoons, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman on all sorts of age levels. We get her to talk about children's literature because she is the professor of children's literature and director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature, and we're working our way through notable books. What's next on your list for the older reader?
We've got one more for the older reader, and it's called Amelia Westlake. This is a very clever, funny comedy, but it's serious too. It's about a posh, very wealthy school for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that are happening there that are unseemly. There's a coach, a male coach, who's making unseemly comments about young girls. There's a girl who's a prefect who does absolutely everything perfect. And there's a girl who's going to change things. This school needs to change its attitude. So they come up with a pseudonym, Amelia Westlake, who doesn't actually exist, but she's allowed to tell some of the things that are going on at the school. It's quite funny and beautifully put together as a story. It's also a story about relationships between girls. So this really is for older teenage girls, much older, I think, than Lenny's Book of Everything. So for me, this book, it really is all about society, what roles people play, the importance of teachers and calling someone out if there's inappropriate behavior, and girls and women taking charge and doing something.
Mm. So what is it that, are we talking about sexist behavior here? What kind of things, when they say that the school needs to change, what kind of things are they talking about?
Well, the school is refusing to accept the fact that the coach is having inappropriate behavior.
Okay.
So these girls are going to call him out. They're finding ways to do this, and it's actually happening. But the school, for whatever reason, doesn't want the general public to know, doesn't want the school population to know about this. But these two girls are going to change things.
So many kids, especially older children who are towards the end of high school, even, throughout school, really, when you think of it, but especially as they get older, as they're nearing adulthood, there's a real sense of social justice.
Exactly. I mean, these are girls who, one girl has really towed the line all her life. She's done just absolutely everything perfectly. In comes Amelia Westlake, or this other girl, who's saying, this is not right. We have to do something. So they put things in the school paper pretending like it's this Amelia Westlake who doesn't actually exist. Very clever done. So I think this book has a lot of angles that it could introduce.
And you mentioned humour as well. How important is that in a book like this where you're actually dealing with some heavy issues, I'm assuming?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it common to have humour in books that are appealing to?
I think a writer has to have that kind of knack.
Yeah.
This is only the second book by this author, and I've read her first one too. She's good.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye out for that. So what was that one? That was Amelia Westlake.
That's right.
By Aaron Goff. Okay. And that's for the older, specifically just girls, or will boys enjoy reading it too, older boys?
Well, because it's quite funny. You might get boys reading it, but, you know, let's face it, boys are going to look at the girl main characters are girls and think, oh, I'm going to find me another book.
Yeah.
But they're going to be rewarded if they read this book.
Okay. Well, there you go. And Belle, you've got a couple of other books for us to look at from the Notables list. These ones are specifically for younger readers, though?
Well, when we say younger readers, both of these could be read, you know, like from 9 years old up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one by Wendy Orr, Swallow's Dance, is a follow-up book from one called Dragonfly Song. And it's set in Crete generations ago. And it's, again, we've got all these strong female characters. And she was set to be a priestess in her own country, just about to do that. But then there's an earthquake, and then they have to leave the country, and then they find another place to live. And that, too, is suffering a catastrophe. So her whole world is turned upside down. The interesting thing about this novel is it's all about this girl coping with who is she really? She's still strong at heart. It's also told in both free verse and prose, which is quite unusual. So, for example, a double page spread will break into verse.
Mm.
And from my perspective, I wasn't quite sure why or when, and probably since I didn't notice it, the author has done it just right. It's perhaps it gives a different pace to the story. It has a sense of lyrical nature to it when you have verse in there. But it's not off-putting.
Yeah.
It's just a different way of telling that story in a very concise, lyrical way, and then moving back into the lengthier prose when the girl is coping with how am I going to cope with my mother who's been injured? She can't remember anything. So this is a beautiful 2-volume set, and maybe there'll be some more.
Yes, and that sounds interesting. So that's Swallow's Dance by Wendy Orr. And you've got, well, I hate coming to the end, but you've got one more book
one of my absolute favourite authors of all time, and that's Emily Rutter.
Ah, yes, I'm familiar with this.
His name was Walter. This book is such a readable, I call it magical realism, because here you have human characters, but he's in an orphanage that's kept by beekeepers. He meets a witch and lives with her for a period of time, and then she turns into another creature. Then he and 3 other kids are in a broken down bus, and they walk to a house while they're waiting for someone to come and pick them up. And in that house, there's a desk. And in that desk is the story of this person. His name was Walter. And Walter, it starts a whole nother story. So you've got a dual narrative here. Now, we're talking about the younger readers, but it is done in different fonts. So you pretty well know that you're switching to this other one. But the young kids find this book, begin to read it aloud, and realize that there's truth to it. And they're in the house where all of this happened. So it's very spooky, beautiful read. You can't stop reading it. I love books like that.
Is it similar to the other Emily Rutter books?
Well, she has written a whole series of mysteries.
Yes. Yeah.
And this one, the 4 children that are in this book, they're probably about 10 to 12, 14. They're all beautifully realized, and they're all quite individual. And that's true for all of her books. Her Rowan of Wren series are just beautifully realized about a young boy, and he's got several adventures. I think this is one of my favorites.
Okay. Well, Belle, we will definitely take your word for it. Thank you so much for joining us yet again to talk about children's literature on Afternoons.
It was my pleasure.
That is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is a professor of children's literature and director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. And she joins us on Monday's Afternoons to take you through some books that, you know, it's good to have on your radar if you're after good children's books. You're on Afternoons with Paula Krug.